with members of God's family tonight. It always brings great joy to my heart to be here. Me and the bro, sure glad you have us. This evening, I want to look at the study of God's Word. A couple of months ago, the question was posed to me, or to the congregation at Alton in a sermon, are you a truth seeker? And when it was asked, I kind of sat back and said, man, it stirred me up. It made me, sit back and think a little bit. Are you a truth seeker? And that's what we're going to be studying tonight, on seeking God's truth and how Scripture tells us it's both vital and crucial and necessary in the growth of a Christian's life to better serve our God and to know what He expects of us. And it keeps us on the part of what keeps us on a straight and narrow path to keep us from wandering off. And one illustration that I liked was to picture a train on its tracks, and that those tracks keep it from not veering off. It keeps it going where it needs to go. It keeps it in that direction and keeps it going to its destination. And so I want us to have that in mind as we go through this lesson this evening. If you're following along this evening, if you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2 through 3, and what Peter's saying here is we all have to start somewhere. We all start somewhere. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. All right, that's the beautiful thing of God's kingdom, is there's many different people. Some just starting out in their walk. There's others who a little further along than that, and there's others who've been walking with Christ for years, that been, you could say, know the Bible front and back. I've studied with them, and it's always a pleasure to be around people like that. But that's God's kingdom. There's different people, and they're different stages of where they're at, and that's what Peter's telling us here. Desire the pure milk of the word, but we got to be careful that we're not content to stay there, that we're always seeking growth in God's word, that we would to understand the written word and to grow thereby. One of the illustrations I'd like to use this evening is, in high school, I really enjoyed football. I've always loved it. It's always been a big part of my life. Really enjoyed it. It was something I was devoted to. In high school, my last year, my senior year, I had the opportunity to call the plays for the defense. So basically, the offense would come, we'd see what they were going to line up, and we made our call and adjustments as needed, right? It was a big responsibility at that time. Doesn't seem that now, but at the time it was. At the time it was a big responsibility, and it was an opportunity that wasn't just given, or that I had to earn it. I had to earn that, and I had to do so through diligent study of our playbook, of the other team's scheme, a lot of watching film. A lot of factors went into being able to do this, to have that responsibility. And, I wanted to know how to respond to any given situation that happened on the field. I had to know. I had to be able to figure it out. And so I've tried, when I began my walk with Christ a year and a half ago, I've tried to take that same spirit and that same attitude, that same want to be better every day into my study of God's word, to figure it out. I want to know, right? I want to know how to deal with situations. I want to know how to be a better husband. I want to know how to overcome trials and issues and problems. I want to know all these questions, or all these answers to the different questions that come in our life, because we're faced with different things in our walk every day. And so I thirst for that knowledge. I got to have the answer. And so that's what I've tried to take in. The same way I studied to be able to call those plays on defense, I try to study to be better prepared when I come up here to speak, to be prepared when I go into people's homes to study with them, to share God's word with them. that I would be able to give the answers readily and have them ready. And I believe when we study and we seek to find what our Father expects of us, His desires for us, His will for us, and we don't study to fit the Word to our desire, we are pleasing God. We're trusting Him. We're telling Him, we trust that You have the answers. I trust that what You're telling me through here, when I hear Your voice, You're giving it to me. You're giving me the answers. If you would, turn with me to 2 Peter. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 through 4. And Peter goes on to tell us that, how to grow and be multiplied in that grace and knowledge and the growth we should see. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That grace and peace multiplied in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, right? He didn't give us some things. He didn't give us in part. He didn't give us a few or this or that. But all things pertaining to life and godliness we have. We have it here. It's what the Word of God tells us. And not only that, it's not just for some of us or whoever's up here or whoever's going out. It's for every single one of us who's a partaker of that grace in Christ. We are all partakers. We all are. Who are called by glory and virtue to walk worthily. To walk worthily with Christ. You know, it continues there in verse 5 through 9 in that same chapter in great detail of the kind of growth we are to strive for, of the kind of growth in Christ to strive for. And it gives us what we'll have when we do that, and it also gives us the warning and the stark contrast when we don't. We continue in there in 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will neither be barren or unfruitful when we give ourselves to it, when we're devoted to it, when we yearn for it, when we thirst for it, for that knowledge of our Lord. And verse 9 tells us that stark contrast, right, that what can happen, the danger, the warning. Here's the warning right here in verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So that's the danger we put ourselves in, that we could be short-sighted to forget even that when we were baptized and we were forgiven for every sin we committed up to that point, that precious blood, that we are in danger of forgetting that. We're in danger of forgetting what we believed in the first place. That we put ourselves in danger of believing anything we hear. We put ourselves in danger of being led from the truth, of being led away from the truth, of being blinded from the truth. And there in verse 11, it tells us of the reward for keeping the truth and abiding in His word. Verse 11 tells us, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we can hang our hat on. That's what you can take to the bank, that right there. We know that God will keep His promises. God, we can count on that. You know, there's two things that keep us humble as followers of Christ in this world, and that's one, we can be deceived just the same. We are in danger of being deceived just the same, and we have sin too. We have sin too. If you'll turn with me, 2 Peter, we'll go to chapter 3, to the end of the chapter, verses 14 through 18. And here Peter's telling us to be looking forward to that glorious day, that final day, because for a follower of Christ, it's exactly what it is. It's we look forward to that glorious day when we'll be reunited with our Savior. Peter tells us what to do, how to live, what the way we can resist the temptations of this world while we're here to be found in peace on that day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and both now and forever. Amen. To be able to resist being led away with the wicked, to fall from your steadfastness in the Lord, grow in his grace and in his knowledge, grow in this written word that was left behind for us to help us, to guide us, to guide our steps. I don't watch a lot of news on the TV. I don't like to. It just gets me in a bad mood, what it can do. But I do like to keep up with what's going on in the world. I like to know what's going on. So on my phone, I've got my little news article app deal, and I go through and I see what's going on, keep up with current events and things like that. And as I was a while back, probably been, right before Thanksgiving, I came across a very sad and tragic story, very, very sad and really, really heartbreaking. Really heartbreaking story. It was a story of this man, a Filipino man. His name was Apollo Kibaloy. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name right, but he's Filipino, Apollo Kibaloy. And he was on these news articles for all the wrong reasons. He'd done some bad things. He was a founder of what the world calls a mega church in the Philippines. Those articles had their total membership at 6 million worldwide, 6 million people, 6 million people that tuned in to him to hear what he had to say about scripture, tuned in to trusted him to bring the truth, and this man twisted God's word so bad he was arrested for running a sex trafficking ring out of that city he was preaching in, out of that building, and he was arrested. But that's exactly what Peter's warning us there of those men who would twist God's word for their own benefit, to their own destruction. He made claims to be God's appointed son. He had them girls believing that by not obeying him was going to lead to eternal damnation. And that's how he twisted God's word. That's how he twisted God's word. And those are the kinds of people that Peter is warning us to be wary of. They're here today. They're here today on the earth we walk on. This is why we must keep our sword sharp. This is why we must keep our sword sharp and test everything we hear in Scripture. Even what I say, even what I'm up here saying, test it to Scripture, making sure it lines up with what the context says all the time. All the time. If you would, follow along with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, and the Apostle Paul here gives the instruction of how we're to equip ourselves daily to combat this, to combat the devil and his lies, to combat the devil and his wickedness. How we're to equip ourselves daily. Here in verse 10, it begins, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul's giving us that instruction of those fiery darts sometimes feels like they never stop coming. The devil's relentless in his pursuit. And Paul's telling us there's a way to combat it. There's a way to fend them off. There's a way to keep them at bay. And he's giving us that instruction here. You know, I was blessed with the opportunity to be able to go on home studies with my father before he left this earth earlier this year. And I can still hear in my head because, you know, me, when I go do these studies, I like to have like a chart or something. I'm a very visual person. It helps me. But he wasn't. And I just remember him telling me, as long as you got your sword with you, that's all you need. As long as you got your sword, that's all you need. As long as we can show people God's truth and share God's truth with them, that's all we need. That's all we need. You know, Satan's lies, they have an end date. We don't know when, but they have an end date. They do. Only the Father in heaven knows when, but the word of the Lord, this word will endure forever. This word will endure forever. You know, Satan has a lot of ministers in the world today telling you what's good for you. Do what pleases you. Do what you want, right? Today, as long as we keep opening up this book and seeking God's truth and following him and learn and grow in Christ Jesus, we can continue to stomp on his head. We can continue to stomp on Satan's head. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter, whether we're here in Lubbock, whether we're in Olton, whether we're across the world in the Philippines or India, he doesn't stop. The brethren around the world all face him and battle against him every day. That we would pray for each other no matter where we're at, that we would always resist him, that we would always pray that the brethren that were always in Christ's word and God's word and looking and seeking to how we can always combat him and also share God's truth with others, that they would be able to combat him and know that all he is lies. That all he is lies. You ever heard the saying, thieves don't break into empty homes? Satan knows where he's going. He knows where his last home is. He had his chance. And he got kicked out. And he wants to take us, he wants to take everybody with him. You know, we won't go there, but if you want to make note of this, John chapter 16, verse 8 tells that the ruler of the world has already been judged. But when we follow Christ and we live a life for Christ, that's exactly what it leads to. Eternal life. That's what Jesus provides. The devil provides lies, and Jesus provides life. You would, we'll continue along in First Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verse 15 through 16. And here Paul gives the instruction to Timothy on how, what he needs to meditate on, what he needs to give himself to, and what he needs to do to be able to do this and to share with others. Starting in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Meditate on them. Give yourself entirely to them. When I think of that, I think of how I gave myself entirely to the sport of football. I gave myself in those younger, in my younger years, to be the best I could at that. That's what I wanted to be the best. That's what I yearned for. And now this is what I yearn for, to be the best I can to share God's truth and to share God's love and to be there for others, who are hurting, who need him. Because we all do. We all need him always. Right? That your progress may be evident to all. You know, when I read that, it brings such great joy to my heart. Such great joy, because when I was living a life contrary to God's word, and I was living a life that was bad, I'll just say that, I used to get invites and calls all the time. Dallas, what are you doing? Dallas, what are we doing tonight? Dallas, where are we going? You know, what can we go do that's not good? You know, I don't get those calls no more. I don't. And I take that as a great compliment. I take it as a great compliment because those same people see my life being lived for Jesus. That I choose Jesus, that I choose the ways of him. And they see that. It's evident. You know, another thing that when I think of that is, I remember like when my dad would do funerals or something like that, or weddings, or, you know, and he'd be there for people. They would wait for him to leave, you know, when the keg came out. And I always thought, man, you know, that's very respectful of them. I'm glad they do that for him. They know he doesn't like that no more. It was evident. It was evident to them of the life he was living. You know, people can see it. Whether they're in Christ or not, they can see it. Let it be evident. Let it be evident to all that we would. You know, my prayer is that those same people who would call and invite me, you know, I invite them to come visit us on Wednesday when I'm here. I invite them to come visit y'all on Sundays in the morning. I still want to be there for them. I still love them. I still want what's best for them. And I hope that one day I could be able to study God's word with them so that they too would know this peace, this that comes with living for Christ, with obeying Jesus. That's my prayer. I don't despise them. I don't wish bad on them, and I don't think that's what we're supposed to do. I believe God's word tells us to continue to love them, continue to be there for them, share God's truth with them, that one day they may come to that knowledge. And one day they may come to that knowledge too. Let's turn over to 2 John verse 9. 2 John verse 9. And it tells us that of what we need to do, of the doctrine we need to abide in. 2 John verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Only one doctrine. Only this Bible. Only one. It's all we need. It's all that was given. Only one. And when we abide in it, when we give ourselves to it, like we just read in 1 Timothy, when we yearn for it, we have both the Father and the Son. We have both the Father and the Son. And when we don't, there's the consequence. There's the warning. We don't have God. We don't have him. And that's his way of warning us. This is the word we heed to. This is what we abide in. You know, we sing a hymn that I really like. It's in the hymn book, Anywhere with Jesus. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go, right? We got to put those words on our heart. We got to put these words on our heart. We got to abide in them. But we can go with Jesus anywhere. And we have these words. People, that would be evident to people. We have to put them on our heart. If you would, turn with me to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And I want to look here. And here in Hosea chapter 4, the nation of Israel is giving themselves to the gods of other nations. They're serving idolatry. They're ungodliness, and it angers God, and they're in a bad spot, and God tells them right here of the consequence for what they've chosen. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children." They knew better. They knew what was expected. They had their instruction, and they chose not to follow it. And for that, God tells them, I will forget your children. I will forget your children. There was a consequences for not keeping God's commandments. He was angry. You know, for us today, that's an important and a good reminder to not reject God's knowledge. Don't reject it, but rather go and search it. Go seek it. Go see what God expects of us. It's the only way we can know is to study His truth. It's to study His truth. If you would, turn with me. We'll go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 10. Deuteronomy, chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27, verse 10. It says, "Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today." Obey the voice of the Lord. Observe and keep His commandments and statutes. Right? We're not under this covenant. We're under the covenant purchased by Jesus' blood. But this very principle, to follow God, to know His truth, to keep His statutes and His commandments, that hadn't changed. That hadn't changed. God has always desired a people obedient to Him, who love Him, who show their obedience and their love by keeping His commandments, by listening to Him. Now, how else can we know what that is? How else can we know what's expected of us without going into His Word and studying and seeking the answers, seeking the answers to rightly divide His Word of truth? Now, don't get me wrong. I understand. Life happens. Sometimes we get caught up in what's going on around us. Sometimes it just feels like it never slows down, right? I'm guilty. Sometimes I don't open my Bible as much as I would like to, you know. I'm guilty. But, you know, a goal I set for myself, or try to set for myself, that I try to adhere to is, you know, I try to read one chapter a day. One chapter a day, and I try to really learn the context, learn. You know, I ask myself three questions: who's speaking, who are they speaking to, and what's the message, or what's the advice given in that context? You know, a thing I heard a while back that I really, really liked was, use the Bible for its own best commentary. Use the Bible for its own best commentary, because it is, it really is. It speaks for itself. You don't have to go to anything else, right? As long as you got your sword. As long as you got your sword. You know we need it to keep us honest, to keep us on those train tracks, to keep us on that straight and narrow path. We know we need it. You know, when we cheat ourselves of being able to handle the different things that life throws at us. You know, because those things happen. Things we don't expect, things we don't like, they happen. But we have the answers. We have the answers for everything. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Back over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verse 19 through 21. And it just goes on to say what we've been reading this evening. How we have everything. We have what we need. That we should use it. That we would use it. Verse 19, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit." We have the prophetic word confirmed. We have it. We have it. You know, if you want to make note, we won't go there today, but in John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18, that's what Jesus tells those apostles. He's going to send them the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to help them. That this was not of nobody's opinion. This word is of no man's opinion, but rather it's from God. It's from God who gave them the ability and the inspiration to give it, to write it, that we have it, to use it. When the day gets dark, when things feel like they're closing in around you, when you feel like there's no way out, when you go through trouble, through strife, it is a light in a dark place. When you face the temptations of this world, the corruption of the world through lust, it is a light in a dark place. It's what we use. It's what we have to use. It's what we have to use. One of the last places I want to go to this evening is in the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 25. James says the same thing here. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed. This word is the perfect law of liberty. That's what God's word is. Perfect law of liberty. It's perfect because it comes from God. It's a law because this was going to judge us. From Matthew to Revelation, those are the words that we have to adhere to follow. Those are our commands of liberty. Perfect law of liberty. That we would continue in it. Continue in it. Grow thereby. Seek growth. Seek growth in His knowledge. Not only for yourself, but to be there for others when they need you. To be there for others when they need you. And not a forgetful hearer, but go do. Be a doer of the things you hear, the things you read in this book. Go do them. That's what He told us in Peter, that we would be neither barren nor unfruitful, but that we would bear good fruit, that we would be doers of the work. And this one will be blessed in what he does. And we will be blessed in what we do. I pray we all seek to keep our sword sharp. Keep our sword sharp and aim to be followers complete, to do his good works. You know, scripture shows us that God has always desired his children, those who follow him, to show their love by keeping his commandments. You know, I heard in a sermon not too long ago, back in probably the beginning of November, my brother who was up there mentioned how God still visits his people today through his word. That God still visits his children through his word. And I hope we got a clear picture and a better understanding that it's on us too to go visit him. That we've got to go visit him and open this book and search it. And search for the answers and search what he expects of us. That we would be followers complete to do his good works. That we would go visit God as well. You know, to study these precious words left to guide and direct us, to guide and direct us, that those tracks, that track we follow all the way home to Jesus, waiting to be a people prepared for that glorious day. You haven't been a partaker of that and have yet to be baptized for the remission of your sins. I urge you to come and do that and take care of that this evening, or if you need the help or the prayers of this church on your walk. Veered off and you wandered off and you need help getting back on track, whatever it is you need, I pray that you come and sit on the front pew as we stand and sing the song of invitation.